So today, well, first of all, I want you to just guess what I spent the last 2 days doing.
Let me guess. Painting.
Yeah.
Yes, but not on a canvas.
Not on a canvas. No. On walls.
Exciting.
Yeah, and choosing colors. And this is interesting because today's topic is all about the art of color.
Yes.
But I just discovered this morning while we were having a discussion that a color that I painted one of my rooms is a color to be avoided.
Well, it's okay if it's an accent color. No, in nature.
In nature, we're talking. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll not in household. No, not in decor.
Decor is a whole different thing.
Yeah, so every industry is a tiny bit different.
That's right. So color use in art and color use in design and color use in interior decorating is a whole different ball of wax.
Yes, it is. And color use in the East is different from color use in the West.
And up in the mountains as opposed to the prairies.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
And how color affects us psychologically is another whole field. It's all very interesting.
And even how our eyes work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And how cameras work, because our eyes see millions and millions of colors, whereas cameras see thousands of colors.
Right.
And so we're never going to get the photo that we can see in our head.
No. And have you ever had a color war with a friend? That's not teal. That's... right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, we always have, no, that's periwinkle. No, it's not. It's teal. It's not teal or it's not beige. It's mocha. We all see colors differently.
Yes.
Which is pretty wild.
It is.
Yeah, concept. So
okay, so this is today's conversation.
Yeah, and it's very relevant to art and design and life in general.
Right. Okay, so first of all, we need to identify what color is.
Yes.
And really what it is visible light energy that comes in certain wavelengths.
Yes.
And our photoreceptors in our retinas that are called cones, they translate this energy into colors. So we have three kinds of cones, one for blue, one for green, one for red.
Yeah, RGB.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we just perceive like all the different colors by the different combinations of the light and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all the science is there in that little tiny ball that's in your head.
That's right.
The two little eyeballs.
And the receptors in your eyes tend to see certain colors first.
Right.
Right? So red is red what you see
zooms
first.
Zooms forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as a result, things like stop lights and stop signs are red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your
caution.
Eye, I know.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It is actually. Yeah. There's a whole, like, we could have 6 hours of a show on color
because
there's so many different directions you can go in, but we're going to try to stay with the whole art and design.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and you know what? Stop sign is a very important design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and so did you know that the first post-it notes were yellow because yellow is a memory color.
Huh.
Yellow helps trigger the memory.
No kidding.
Yeah. And highlight pens are yellow too
because of that. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there you go. That explains all the highlighting I did in my textbooks. yellow. And it's true. Green and pink just don't cut it.
Not so much.
No.
Nope. So if you want to remember something, surround it with yellow or write it on something yellow or whatever.
Yeah. I still use my highlighter.
Yeah.
All the time to highlight what I need to get done.
I used to be completely irritated when I opened a textbook and found whole portions of it highlighted.
I know.
I thought, really? Just read it. Just read it.
That's true.
Anyway.
No,
okay.
I had to highlight.
So
I still highlight.
Well, that's exciting. It's good to know that you find certain things important enough to make sure that you're recalling them.
Well, I just never... sort of shocked at myself because I work in color every day and I always write with a black pen. I don't really like blue pens. And I always highlight what I have to get done next. And then once I'm done, I check it off.
Ah.
It's, and I'm just realizing this now. Well, there you go.
There you go. It's a journey of self-discovery.
It is. Radio is.
It is.
But, and
so in relation to that, yellow is apparently a good color to paint your office if you're in sales.
Huh.
Yeah. Because if sales staff need to keep a positive frame of mind, yellow helps you do
that's
that.
That's right. Yellow is very optimistic, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, especially if you're doing cold calls and stuff like that, you need to keep the energy level up because it's pretty depressing.
Yeah, I don't think I could do cold calls.
No.
And prisons, they paint them in pink.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a problem with pink.
Okay.
Because sometimes if the pink has too much red in it, it actually can cause rage.
Mm.
And so you have to be very careful with the calming pink.
It has to be the right pink.
Yes.
Huh.
So that's, I mean, that can go completely bad on a person. If you're aiming for calm and you have already aggressive people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
could be worse.
Fail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not a good idea. Well, I wouldn't want to be in charge of picking the pink, I don't think.
No.
No.
No. But no. I mean, it's getting, the problem is like you said earlier, people perceive color differently. So yes. It's getting more and more scientific to figure out what the effects of, you can't even generalize anymore mm-hmm. because the effects are not the same on every person.
It's true.
Yeah.
And there are people whose living is made and who spend their life working on color.
Mm-hmm.
Like our friends at the Pantone Matching System.
You love those people. Oh,
I love
don't
those
you?
People. PMS. So those are the little books that you see if you go to the paint store. You can buy sets of Pantone Matching System books mm-hmm. and go and mix and match. And I have giant ones in my office.
I once watched you drool over one.
Yeah. I know. Like I carry them around and I put them under the light and then I take them somewhere where it's darker to see how they respond. Because you only see it, you know, with no light, there's no color.
Mm-hmm.
That's why at nighttime you see in black and white.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the
That's
cones.
Why they have those light comparable things at the paint store. Like you can put those same little paint swatches that have four or five colors of, or the, you know, the different values of the same color. You put it under this little light
yes.
and then switch it back and forth from daylight to mm-hmm. artificial light. Mm-hmm. And it changes dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
So whether or not you're getting full spectrum light
right.
into your space or onto your thing, whatever it is you're designing, or if it's all going to be artificially lit.
Yeah.
Should make, you know, some decisions.
It's true. And then you. Sometimes often clients will see a proof on their computer and they like the color. But then once it's printed on a piece of paper, they don't like the color.
Right.
And that's because of light emitting versus light absorbing.
Right.
Right.
Because backlit
yes.
is different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's always a tricky part, you know, or you might print something out on a photocopier and it doesn't look the same as if you printed it out on a printing press.
Right.
Because a press is actually four. So our eyes see RGB, red, green, blue, but in print it's four, CMYK, right? Cyan, magenta, yellow
and black.
Yeah. And so every color on paper is a combination of those four.
Right.
Right. Well, it's technically, I mean, there are different.
Yeah.
But that's basically what it comes down to. So the PMS or Pantone matching is millions upon millions of combinations of CMYK. So you can up it a little bit or drop it a little bit.
So who is this person, Pantone?
I don't know, but he's very wealthy.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the Pantone people are still around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this must have been a long time ago that some guy sat down and said, All right. I'm making a system.
Well, yeah, because it is frustrating. I mean, he met a need that wasn't being met.
Yeah.
So it was an invention of sorts, right? But now it's so popular, you might notice there's Pantone matching mugs. And I saw Pantone matching sheets the other day. So you can have PMS 108 orange sheets if you'd like. So it's kind of becoming something in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day.
A design phenomenon.
I know. I'm going to have all of them. When I win the lot, I'm going to buy all the PMS matching Pantone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I can. You know what? Okay. For those of you out there who've never been to Louise's office, it's a color person's delight.
I love color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love watching you work on a project because you have all of these little color block things spread out all over your desk and things are laying on top of each other and moving around. And then I just think that's such a fascinating process to figure out what's going to work, what words, like what color a font has to be in order to stand out against a background, mm-hmm. and especially if you're matching people's branding colors and trying to make it work
and
with
And the messaging that you want to hit the right tone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
you're talking about like red popping forward and stuff.
Yes.
What do you find in design is the best combination to make people see the words?
Oh, well, the biggest contrast is black on yellow.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like if the bumblebee.
Yes, because the bumblebee is danger, right? So
right. Another
telling,
caution.
Yeah, it's a cautionary tale. So in nature, if an animal sees yellow and black, what else is yellow and black?
Wasps and hornets.
And tigers.
Oh, and tigers
right?
and leopards and
so,
jaguars.
I know, it's really, people think it's like you're just making this stuff up, but it's not. Nature is the best designer.
Yeah.
She's got that stuff figured out.
Well, and that's why green, soft green, is considered a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
because in nature it is a neutral. Mm-hmm. It's like everywhere, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why berries are red, mm-hmm. and that's why flowers are pretty, because they're trying to attract bumblebees.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and also,
and if it works for nature, it'll work for your brochure. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But well, I don't often do red and black. I don't often do yellow and black unless it's...
Yeah. Because a brochure is not a snake that you're wishing to avoid.
No, it is not. It is not a snake I'm wishing to avoid. Although, you know, I mean, one current example, disclaimer, I'm running for council, is if you look at the signs of the candidates.
Yes.
Right?
That is a very good example right now. Which ones stand out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, like Marty's and Ian's stand out the most.
Because of the yellow.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
They go, bing.
Bing. Hello. Pay attention. We're here.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a cautionary tale. They're both lovely. They won't sting you, either of them.
But. Yeah. But it's interesting because, you know, we talk about red coming forward, but the red and white ones are not so interesting.
No,
vibrant or something.
It could be the white.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that, well, gee, and the Canada flag.
I mean, there should be
a little more zippy, apparently. Yeah,
a lot of blue, too.
There is.
Yes.
And what's with the black background? Like, that's another thing I actually find interesting, because usually things that are bright on a black background will just pop mm-hmm. and make us kind of come closer, right? Mm-hmm. Draw us in. Mm-hmm. But on signs...
Well, I think because isn't black really the absence of color?
Yeah.
So whatever color you put on black, as long as there's not too much black in it,
right,
you'll only see
the thing.
What's remaining. It's like a negative equation, right? You'll only see what's remaining. So black and pink works well. Black and yellow works well. Black and orange. But black and blue, not so much.
Yeah. So only really the warm colors will work on a black
mm-hmm.
background.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
because white is the combination of all colors.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I guess it is. That's right.
If you put it's light through a prism, you see all.
It splits into all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the source light is white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Very fun.
It is.
No, it's true. It's interesting when you look around and see the choices that people make. It says a lot about them.
Yeah.
Whether or not they even know it. And sometimes clients will come in and say, I like blue. Okay. And so what they're really saying is, I want to be seen as... trustworthy, calm, reliable, right? Yeah. But that also sounds like I like blue.
Yeah. Well, did you know that 50% of Canadians choose blue as their favorite color?
It's true.
Yeah.
Because they want to be seen as calm, trustworthy, reliable, right?
What's your favorite color?
Orange.
Of course it
Hands
is.
Hands down.
Aww.
And orange is happy.
Yeah.
And also affordable. Right?
It turns out.
Yeah.
Actually, orange has a meaning. I can't remember which facility it works best in, but it's supposed to be a joyous, like, I think that's a classroom situation that you're supposed to use orange.
Oh, I would. Yeah. Optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good.
Yeah.
On that note. Well,
okay. Right. Yeah, it is color. So, it creates a cheerful, sociable environment with minimal hostility and irritation.
See?
There you go. That's what orange does.
I would like to be minimally hostile.
Yes.
So we're going to visit the rainbow,
mm-hmm.
right?
We're going to stay away from stone, biscuit, vanilla, taupe. All those neutrals.
I know, right? Walk on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
cappuccino with mom. I mean, this could
be
like a
trendy
Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, the
people naming colors.
All the neutral colors?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the neutral colors, everybody's talking about resale, right? You watch your house and home TV or whatever, house and garden. What is it called? I can't remember. Anyway, anything that tells you how to redesign and renovate your home inside of 24 hours, which
looks
goodness. Pretty miraculous, always goes for the neutral colors because of resale value. But in fact, neutral colors... for us as humans is an absence of emotion, because we find emotion in color.
Yes.
And so when you surround yourself with neutral colors, you're actually devoiding yourself of your very humanity, because we need it. We need
do.
Emotion.
Yeah, we do crave that.
Yeah.
And well, it's
in nature,
anonymity,
it's there too.
Probably why, because you don't know who you're going to sell your house to. So if you keep it like anonymous or meaningless, it they might connect. I don't know.
But wouldn't it make sense then to just paint your house in all of the beautiful colors that make you feel good and happy? Yes. And then when you put your house up for sale, you just, you know, pay the couple hundred bucks to have some dude come in and paint it taupe.
Taupe.
Yeah. Or biscuit. Or French vanilla.
Pastry dough.
Yeah.
I guess my house would be a realtor's nightmare because I seriously have green, blue, yellow, burgundy, bright orange, and a lime green. Every room is a different.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, my daughter just painted her room black.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to do that when I was a teenager.
Well, it's your expression, right? Yeah. And at first I was going, no, can we choose purple? Can we do, I'm not thinking, wait a minute, it's just paint.
Yes.
Right? It's like the cheapest way to change the mood in your room. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Be brave.
Right. So if we're going through the rainbow, the first one is red.
Red.
Red. Right? ROYGBV.
Huh?
Those are the colors of the rainbow, right? there's probably an acronym. I can't.
Primary color.
Yes. So red, yellow, blue are primary. Then the secondary colors, orange, green, and violet.
Purple. Oh, violet.
Yes.
Right. We have to stay away from the word purple. Because it means something else besides violet.
Does it?
Well, violet is a different color than purple.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's more blue in purple, isn't there?
Yeah.
But starting with red. So red has specific meanings.
It sure does.
Yeah.
It increases your blood pressure.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
But it also sharpens your motor skills mm-hmm. and your appetite.
And you see it first.
Yes.
Right?
It's a warm color. It's mm-hmm. the hottest color, like yes. the sun. And it comes out ahead of all the other colors.
And it has the longest wavelength.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you see it first. But yeah. So red is typically used in what kind of industry? It's almost wide ranging, like anything sale.
Yeah.
You know, is red for sale. Yeah. Usually are red signs. Mm-hmm. Right.
And also just the abundance, the, mm-hmm. the fruit mm-hmm. feeling, because we know ripeness is associated with mm-hmm. red. Mm-hmm. And so anything that makes you feel like something is the right time can use red to show that.
Yeah, there's urgency mm-hmm. in red. That's yeah. right. Whereas orange, like we talked about, is affordable, happy.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, it's like the fast food color. McDonald's used to use a lot of orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's red and yellow.
Red and yellow, which is,
with
orange.
Yeah, mixed right? together, it's orange. That's yeah. the secondary. So, you know, I have a story about red.
Okay.
So we went on an art history tour to Ontario when I was in my third year. And I can't remember the church we went to, but we went to see this beautiful old stone church in Ottawa, and there was a stained glass window in there that, you know, went to the outside. We walk in the door and you're faced with this long, tall stained glass window, and there was birds in every pane. And the red cardinal.
Oh.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like it just went ping.
Yeah.
Way out in front. It almost, all of us stood back and went,
it's going to get me.
Well, yeah. Is that actually closer to us? Like mm-hmm. we could not wrap our heads around the fact that this brilliant red was on the same plane of existence mm-hmm. as all the other colors, mm-hmm. but it was just the most clear example of red coming forward.
Wow.
And all of the other birds just kind of in various stages in the background. Wow.
Yeah.
It was quite spectacular.
So. Yeah. There's probably a reason why most barns are red. I can't think of what it would be, but if you're listening.
So that the cow can find it at the end of the day?
Probably. Right?
Never know.
I know. There's.
Can a cow see red? Maybe they can see red.
And then there's the whole colorblind issue. So do you know why Facebook is blue?
Why?
Well, because Mark Zuckerberg is colorblind.
What color was it supposed to be?
Well, it couldn't have been anything but, because he doesn't see red or.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he only sees blue?
Well, no, he doesn't only see blue, but he's colorblind, so he doesn't see red or green.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
Huh.
But then Microsoft is also blue. IBM is also blue.
So there's something they still are, is a message they want to still get out there.
Trust and stability. And a lot of banks are blue.
Hmm. Yeah. Calm seas.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so yellow, we talked about.
Yellow as a memory color.
And emergency, yield signs,
And optimistic mm-hmm. and positive. Mm-hmm. And it can be very exciting. It can excite you.
Yes.
And also it increases cardiopulmonary activity.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. But you don't see many logos in yellow.
No. You know what? I was just there thinking about some, that, that it seems lovely a bit examples cheap of it. Or something, right? Like it seems...
affordable. I don't like that word, cheap.
I know, but, yeah. But it does seem less rich. Do you know what I mean? Like not rich in a money sense, but less dense, less content. Mm-hmm. So maybe it does feel a little not quite as full as an orange or a red can be, right?
Huh.
So maybe people don't choose it for logos because of that.
Well, large corporations wouldn't choose it for logos. Banks, insurance companies wouldn't choose it.
Well, they don't want to excite people. No. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. But there must be some sports teams, you know, things that are exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they would choose...
The Tiger Cats.
They would choose gold.
Yeah, gold right? and... Yeah.
Yeah, gold and black.
Oh, my goodness.
Gold and purple. And,
yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's just... Yellow flattering itself, calling itself gold. I'm not really yellow. I'm gold.
Okay. Okay, so...
Then green.
Green is a very well-balanced color.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Environment.
Yeah, it's all of nature.
Mm-hmm. Nature.
Yeah, it starts... Almost everything starts out green.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of cities use blue and green and yellow.
Well, yeah, because architectural design is a whole different thing. Like the outside of buildings has different meanings than the inside of buildings on the colors.
Huh.
Yeah. Like green is seen to be restful and contemplative and all that stuff when it's on the inside, but not on the outside of a building. It has opposite effect.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's probably because of the nature of the light.
Maybe.
So color only exists because light. It doesn't exist outside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So, but it is kind of interesting because there's cities and towns that have purposely tried to brighten up their cores with really beautiful colors. But if you actually look at the colors, they're using almost all warm spectrum colors, reds and oranges and you know, it's the warmer blues and warmer purples, because there's something about that as they sit against nature that make us feel happy and comfortable. We don't like it when they try to fit into nature.
Oh, Well, and that's also a cultural thing and a climate thing. So, say in Newfoundland, where there's a lot of rock, you know, the buildings are very vibrant.
They are.
Whereas here, where nature's colors are more vibrant, I think our houses are kind of dull.
Yeah, we're pretty beige.
Yeah.
And gray and taupe and biscuit and all that. Yeah, so I'd really actually applaud Bill Laird downtown here.
Oh, fantastic.
Putting some beautiful colors on the downtown buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is brave.
It is, but again, he's using the warm palette.
Yes.
Right? So it really, they stand out. They make us feel homey and comfortable, and it's restful to us on the outside of a building.
That's true.
To have the warmer palette.
Yep. And we feel better when we're there.
We do.
I'm sure it's good for his businesses, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like the new puzzle factory is a very bright yellow.
Yes.
Which is perfect,
which
right?
is exciting.
For a toy store?
Yeah.
Yay.
And if it's a puzzle thing, then you got a good memory too, right?
Yeah. Very
you
good.
You got a memory.
Yes. I never thought about that. So, James, if you're listening, genius move. Yes. And then blue, of course, which is trusty bank suit stuff, right?
Bank suit. Did you know that blue slows the heart rate? And reduces blood pressure.
Oh, which is helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's the calming thing. Yeah. Like it actually,
especially when you're at the
physiologically,
bank.
Physiologically, actually does that.
Yes.
And it suppresses hunger.
Well.
So like you are wearing a blue sweater today and I am so not hungry.
You're so not hungry. And actually, speaking of food, blue is a terrible food color.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Well, just like plates. They rarely, blue plates, blue food. Like they did an experiment and they took mashed potatoes and rice and dyed them blue. And
ew.
Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Because maybe we think of mold and or things
something.
Like that.
No, we don't like eating
don't
blue.
Like blue food.
No.
Except blueberries.
Blueberries.
Which are actually more purple.
And they're antioxidants too, I guess.
But. Yeah. Gosh, you're right. I can't even, except for blueberries, I can't think of a blue food. What else is there?
Blue cheese, but it's moldy. That's why it's called blue cheese.
It's not moldy.
Or something.
It just has a
isn't
different...
Isn't it a form? It's a,
but all cheese is made with forms of mold.
Okay.
But it's, it's not the mold. It's isn't the word. No. It's got a word. I can't remember the word.
Okay.
It's just the bacterial culture or whatever that makes it is a different kind in blue cheese than in cheddar cheese or mozzarella cheese, right?
And I don't know that cheddar's actually orange.
No, I it's think colored.
That's made up.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Cheese is colored orange. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Like, who decided cheese had to be orange?
I don't know.
Because cheese is white.
Yeah.
Like milk.
And speaking of food, have you seen this? I talked about it yesterday with Steve Corey on his show. The documentary on the Knowledge Network called Just Eat It.
I heard that's coming up on the film festival's having, or the film society's having it.
Man.
It's about waste, isn't it?
Waste and color and shape and size and how so much food is wasted because it's not the right, right. color and it's not the right shape. Yeah. This couple lived for a year out of a dumpster.
Yeah.
And they had too much food.
Yeah. And crazy. They didn't get sick and die.
No.
Yeah.
And they even had moldy blue cheese, and it was perfectly fine.
Moldy blue cheese?
Yeah,
like the, blue like cheese blue that had cheese. Gone moldy.
Well, no. I, you know, I'm just saying. There's all kinds of... The things you wouldn't think they would get eating food out of a dumpster,
yeah.
they got.
Yeah.
Feta cheese, Parmesan cheese, mm-hmm. pasta.
Well, because I once learned that cheese has, when cheese goes moldy, that the roots go deep into the cheese. But in a hard cheese, that doesn't happen. So you can actually cut just the mold cut the off mold of cheese. Off.
Yeah.
And it's good.
And so they talk a little bit about that. But
yeah.
Kind of getting off track there.
But oh, yeah, sorry.
It is about.
Well, because blue food is not conducive to health.
No.
We don't think of
we
it
don't
as healthy.
Like blue food. Right? So and sometimes we change the color of food. To make it appear healthier.
Yes.
Which is probably why they put orange in cheddar cheese.
Probably. And it's probably why they put red dye in meat. Like in raw meat.
To make it look pinker.
Yeah. Because it's because it turns brown really quickly,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the blood's out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this idea that red meat is fresh.
Yes, because brown is not a happy color for food.
We'll talk about brown a little bit later.
We'll talk about brown a little bit later.
Okay, but let's go to purple.
So violet.
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 Sorry, I got to do that.
No, violet. That's okay. I think, so, well, violet, very royal, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Well, it's exclusive. A cerebral color.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It is a color of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And we actually do think people who are surrounded by violet in their clothing or whatever are more thoughtful,
mm-hmm.
more intelligent, and more contemplative too.
Yes.
So we have that perception about somebody who wears it.
Yes. It's and interesting. The reason in the olden days, in Victorian times, only royalty could afford to wear anything purple.
And I wonder if it was because the dye, the source of the dyes would be
so
hard
expensive
to come by.
Yeah. And so hard to come by.
Yeah.
That's right. So royal purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, on parades, remember, people didn't read then. So a lot of messages were sent by color, like people who wear purple are very royal.
Ah.
And people who wear silk are very royal because you can't get silk and you certainly can't get purple dye if you're just the average working Joe.
Right.
You know?
Farmers did not wear purple.
Nope, not a lot of purple happening on the farm. No.
You were going to wave the white flag for me?
That's right. Uh-huh. Great segue. We were just going to talk a little bit about how we use color and the meanings associated to it to improve our messages in language.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So wave the white flag is to surrender.
Right.
And white, especially in the West, is thought to be peaceful and purity, and
yeah, the white
wedding
dove.
Dresses, white doves, you know.
The white poppy,
yes,
controversy,
right? Yeah. Absolutely,
yeah. So there's a symbol there that you can't get away from when something's white,
mm-hmm.
purity,
mm-hmm.
virginity,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Yeah. So, or Black Death. I don't know why they called it Black Death. Probably because it was.
Do we turn black?
Well, you know, because it's associated with mourning, loss, right?
So I wonder why black became the symbol of death.
Because it's the absence of color.
Yeah. So
if there's no color, there's no light. If there's no light, there's no life, I guess.
Yeah.
And yet black can be very authoritative too.
Like, oh yeah.
Because I told you so.
Yeah.
It's the because the I told you so color. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of that I read about depression and how it's affected by color. And in fact, white is the worst color to use in an atmosphere like an institution mm-hmm. facility where people with depression exist because it's actually it causes eye strain and it feels institutional.
Mm-hmm.
And so colors of all kinds plus black are better environments for people with depression.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Interesting about the black.
Well, and in some hospitals, the sort of the substrate, everything is white.
Yeah.
And then they color code departments. So in Vancouver, for example, if you need to get to a certain area, they'll put a green line on the floor and say, just follow the green line until you get to cardiology.
Right.
Or follow the red line to maternity, or follow the blue line to, you know,
urology.
They
wouldn't want to put a yellow line there. Maybe not. For that.
Would be, or brown. That'd be a little unfortunate. And then we say things like in the red.
Yeah.
Right?
Which means debt.
Yes.
So why does red mean debt when it's actually a power color?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, we do. We don't want our accountants.
Well, I mean, I think red is risky and debt is risky.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or in the black means you're making a profit.
Yeah. So it means something different in the financial world than it does psychologically.
Right. And it's because color has different meanings in different cultures. So whether it's the Western world or the Eastern world or the banking world or the arts world, those are different cultures.
Yeah.
And sometimes. And then we'll say things like in the pink.
Yeah. Healthy, happy.
Yeah. Like a new baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
So, yeah. Or you want to green something.
Did you know that pink used to be the color reserved for boys and that girls were given blue things?
No. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Sometime after the Victorian age, that got switched around.
I wonder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think they were trying to, even that, blue, pink, and toys and, you know.
I think we're trying to get away from the gender split.
Yeah. I hope we are.
I hope so, too.
I know when my boys were little, they loved to cook, and I tried to buy them a Little Tykes kitchen so they could play kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find anything that wasn't pink. Or Barbie-esque.
Yeah,
I did finally find one, and they played with that thing forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of sad because your boys are not that old and we're not making much progress here.
No, I had to look, I was that or make one out of wood or buy one of those fancy IKEA ones. But so sometimes neutral is good.
Yes. Right? Well, and just maybe a range of colors would have been nice so that they could pick their favorite color and not be told that they should like pink or should like blue.
Or should not like pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And pink, you know, a lot of colors have been usurped, I guess, by causes.
Yes.
Right? Breast cancer.
That's right.
Bullying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which is actually the same. Pink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else has colors?
I'm thinking about ribbon campaigns and stuff. I guess the breast cancer was probably
ribbons,
the most recognizable.
White ribbons, red for AIDS, right?
Yeah.
So, we have to be careful with color.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
sometimes
the rainbow,
I worry
too.
That it gets,
the whole rainbow has been adopted by the LGBTQ community, and now anybody hanging a rainbow flag for the sake of enjoying the rainbow would be automatically assumed to be
sending a
statement
about.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
So interesting how things have changed.
Colors can be
so
very political.
Yes.
Well, just look at, let's talk about politics, even at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Red is liberal.
Red is liberal.
Blue is Tory.
Blue is Tory. Orange is
NDP.
NDP. It wasn't orange. It used to be brown. Brown keeps coming up.
We're going to talk about brown.
I can
brown.
See now why they changed it.
Yeah.
color is an important player in famous literature, right? The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
We've talked about that before.
The Ruby Slippers.
Yeah, Ruby Slippers.
The Yellow Brick Road.
Yes, Emerald City.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it's all a financial thing. It's a statement about the banking system,
Yeah, it was
right?
a statement about the gold standard.
Right.
Yeah.
So explain that a little bit.
So at the time it was written, there were this very heavy debate on whether we should go to a gold standard or a silver standard. And the gold standard was picked, and this was sort of written as an allegory rejecting the gold standard.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and emerald meant to, you know, green was money, ruby was debt, and yellow was gold.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why it's Oz, O-Z.
Oh.
Right? Because that's a symbol for gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
So fascinating.
Yeah. And there's many examples of, you know, important pieces of literature that use color as a metaphor. For, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it certainly got used in art.
Mm-hmm.
In the art world, color was really important. The use of gold in the Renaissance time was critical. And as we moved into the last century, the 1900s, color was used to cause a ruckus in the whole art world.
Yeah.
And most people are familiar with the Fauvism stage of Impressionism. With Fauvism as a movement didn't really exist for more than just a few years, but it was some of the Impressionists who started it by using wild colors,
yes,
in portraits and which in would landscapes. Have
seemed completely offensive.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's at why the time, they got that's offensive. Why they got called the Fauves, mm-hmm, is because in the first exhibition, which Matisse was in, Dorain, and those guys did crazy things like put green colors in the faces of their portraits, or trees were painted red and, mm-hmm, the skies were orange, and all these things were happening. And so the critic, what was his name? I can't remember that guy's name, Vauxhall or something like that.
Yes, sounds right.
He went to see the exhibition and went, these are just a bunch of, in French, I can't speak French, but there was a Donatello piece in there. And he said, these are just a bunch of wild beasts among the, mm-hmm, Donatello. Mm-hmm. And in French, wild beasts is...
I'm saying fauve.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's how they adopted the name, yeah, of the Fauves. So, yeah, they were just characterized by these crazy colors. It broke open the whole art world, mm-hmm, in terms of using color for anything.
I know, and you have to remember, this had never been seen before.
Yeah.
Ever.
Like, nobody had ever put red in the trunk of a tree.
No. Women would have been fainting.
On teeth.
Yes, they've never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, look at things happening now, right? But up until then, that was huge. And Matisse was big in that, mm-hmm, movement. So you can see some of his works that really... portray that really well.
I just and it makes me sad in a way, because I think we've done it all. I don't know that there'll ever be a new movement like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, but okay, now going on with the color,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Picasso's blue period, like it almost became a movement inside of a singular artist's experience. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's what we'll see in the future, is not necessarily whole movements, because we've seen so many things already.
So individual artists will have their...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll be able to identify those times and be able to relate it to the historical situation and, mm-hmm, all that stuff, right? But Picasso's blue period was very interesting. It lasted about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it started with the suicide of a close friend,
yes,
of his. And he was preparing for an exhibition in Paris. So his friend, he was not in Paris at the time, but his friend was and had a studio there. And he committed suicide. And Picasso went to Paris shortly after and used this friend's studio to prepare for his exhibition.
Hmm.
And that was about the time the first blue painting started. So he really actually fell into a depressive, yeah, state by the time that exhibition rolled around.
And that, so he really was blue.
He really was. Right. And he started to paint with all blues and greens, with only the odd accent color mixed in. And he had an enormous number of paintings that were like that, and paintings of people in melancholy, you know, situations, mm-hmm, lots of poverty. Mm-hmm. He painted prostitutes. He painted, you know, homeless people. So it was a time when it wasn't necessarily that the subject matter was causing him depression. He just happened to be feeling quite down,
yes,
about the entire world and the state of the world and his friend passing away. And at the same time was exploring the seedy underbelly of Paris. What?
Yes.
And so it just, I mean, it coincided.
Well,
and so
he saw blue everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not good for his career.
No.
People did not want these paintings in their homes.
No.
He actually was in quite financial straits for quite a while, because nobody wanted, and he was just hitting his high, right?
Yes.
Like he was just hitting that, holy, make it a splash in Paris.
And then whammo.
Yep.
Yeah.
And probably one of the best known pieces from his blue period is The Old Guitarist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. Lots of people recognize that one, and that would be quite typical.
I wonder what got him out.
Just time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just gradually started to bring more color in, and maybe, you know, I mean, like anything, you, once you explore something to its fullest, you're like, okay,
yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe he exercised it away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because art is its own form of
therapy.
It's true.
And to have the blues, to sing the blues, you know, blue again, very powerful.
Yeah.
And different meanings in different cultures. So in music, it means something entirely different than it does in industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
He followed it up with his rose period.
Oh, well, there you go. So he was in the pink.
By then he was in the pink.
Yeah.
That's right.
Huh.
Interesting. And of course, financially things improved after that. You know, people do want to be surrounded by happy things. Mm-hmm. It's, and now, of course, all those blue paintings are worth crazy money.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the time, people just wanted to feel good.
He didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, that's why we paint our walls.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's
and then
true.
Why we buy fancy colored coffee cups.
Yeah.
right?
And clothing.
Yes.
Gosh, the fashion industry. We could talk a lot about that, mm-hmm. how color is used in fashion to make a statement about.
And they are leading edge. So right now it's fall, and they've already picked what's going to be hot in the spring. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, they'll have already said what's going to be, right?
Yeah.
So they're basically ahead of the curve. So if you want to know what the next big color is, buy a copy of a fashion magazine and look at the next season's collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it often, the fashion industry leads the house industry yes. too, the decorating. Yeah. So it's always about a year or two behind. Mm-hmm. But if you'll get hot colors, like if suddenly, you know, yellow and gold and sparkle is the hot fashion mm-hmm. thing, then in 2 or 3 years later, you'll see yellow couches and yellow yep. lampshades. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And so we're always, I wouldn't say we're fickle, but we're always changing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who was responsible for the avocado green appliances.
Oh, God. I know. They're pretty wretched, aren't they?
But they really held on, didn't they?
Well, because they made things to last mm-hmm. when they made avocado green.
Yeah.
And yet avocados don't last. So yeah. what's with that?
I don't know.
Do you know, I saw a little thing on avocados. It was like a little picture of an avocado and yeah. it's a little thought bubble. It's like, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Eat me now.
Yeah.
Too late.
Too late. I know. It's just the right.
You have to wait. It has to be exactly right.
Sometimes I worry that one of these days, all those expensive stainless steel appliances, people say, can you believe we used to have stainless steel appliances? What were we thinking?
I don't think that's going to happen because gray is a neutral, right? It's a neutral, yeah. whereas avocado, not so neutral. Yeah. I mean, it's not even natural neutral.
Okay, well. We'll talk about it in 20 years.
Okay. We'll make an appointment to come back and talk about it.
Yes.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay, Louise.
All right.
What have we got?
Are we ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Close your eyes.
In keeping with the color theme.
That's right. Close your eyes. You're in Paris, which is full of gray buildings, right?
Okay.
And then, whammo, there's a giant green Christmas tree shaped plastic thing.
Inflatable.
Yes. In the middle of in Place Vendôme, right in the middle of Paris.
Oh my God.
And it's really taken hold of people's imaginations. Mm-hmm. And they're calling it some rather unfortunate things.
What are they calling it, Louise?
They're calling it I can't even say it on the word. A butt plug is what they're calling it. I think it's really genuinely meant to be a Christmas thing.
Yes. Okay, so Paul McCarthy yes. is the artist. And not to be confused with Paul McCartney.
No, that's right. And McCarthy has done some very interesting.
Yes, the inflatable art
yes.
thing. And of course, this Christmas tree is all one color green.
Yes.
So artists don't often do this, do the thing that they're doing in all one color. So that's often part of the statement. But Paul McCarthy did something else.
He's saying it's an abstract Christmas tree.
Well, it can't be too abstracted. It looks like a Christmas tree, mm-hmm. like a little toy wooden
yeah.
one, right?
Absolutely. That you would use with your train sets. Like you would buy at IKEA or something, right? Wood, yeah. But yeah. no, that's not, but it's inflatable, and it certainly garnered a lot of attention on yes. social media.
Yeah. So this guy's quite famous for his inflatables, mm-hmm. and now this is our opportunity to get to the brown.
Oh.
A few years ago, Paul McCarthy did an inflatable piece at the Paul Klee Center in Bern, mm-hmm. Switzerland, mm-hmm. and it was a giant turd.
Turd.
It was floating. A big poop.
Yeah. Now, why? And so...
Well,
and
in
moments like this, I understand why people say, I don't like modern art. Yeah. I can appreciate why this is a challenging thing to understand.
Yeah, especially...
But the dramatic moment was...
The dramatic moment happened when the poop flew away.
Yes.
It lost its anchoring or something in the wind, and it floated away. It got taken by the wind, and it landed in a children's care center yard.
What a story that would make.
The kids?
Madame, there's teacher, a big turd in the yard. Oh, stop now, silly. Madame. I could hear
we
it
need
now.
A bigger bag.
They were probably looking in the sky for the really big dog. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we have the giggles here, but I don't really... It was a dramatic moment. I obviously, it... You know, sometimes these things... you know, garner so much attention that people do it again. Someone in Paris agreed. Sure, yeah. You're the giant turd guy. Come on down. Well, you can make some for our square, too.
Make a butt plug. Yeah.
Christmas tree.
Yeah. Okay, so this segues nicely to the brown conversation. Yes.
Now, brown is not...
Brown is not a color we covered earlier in the show, but it's because it's a color to be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say?
Oh, it's avoided because, so again, going back to our original topic about nature is the best designer. Things that are brown are not normally things that you would want to eat.
Right?
So no. It could be droppings in the forest or unripened berries or bark. I don't think anybody likes to eat bark.
Yeah.
Right? So this is nature's way of saying you probably shouldn't eat this. Yeah. So brown is not a happy color necessarily.
Gosh. And yet,
In nature.
Yeah. And yet feng shui says to paint your bedroom brown, mm-hmm. because what you want at the end of the day is to feel like you've been embraced.
Yes.
And so a deeper skin tone is what you want. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feng shui, that's Eastern.
That's right. Different culture.
Totally different culture.
But
for their white means
death. But they have
death.
Nature too.
Yeah. No, like I know about
droppings in the forest.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. And also there's chocolate.
Oh.
See? You can't say brown's
know,
all bad.
I know. There's exception proves the rule, right? Yeah. I know. Silly.
But it's just, you just can't make hard and fast rules is the thing.
But I will say that these monocolor art pieces, like who's the guy who did the orange and he did all of Central Park in orange?
Oh, in the fabric?
In fabric.
Oh, I don't know, but our producer would know that. Our engineer dude in there, he's thinking hard.
Yes.
He remembers all the artist names.
Right? So sometimes a big hit of color will send a much louder message than a whole bunch of colors.
Right.
Right.
So well, and this is interesting. This is something that happened with the Fauves. They discovered something when they started using these brilliant colors, and that is that they had to simplify their compositions. So Matisse, in order to get these successful paintings, to have all these brilliant splashes of color still work, he simplified the drawing down to its basics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Which
is
probably led to minimalism.
Well, exactly. Yes. It's the beginning of abstract art, really, mm-hmm. right? Because you're abstracting something mm-hmm. and taking bigger shapes, bigger chunks of the details and exaggerating them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interestingly, Georges Braque was part of this movement.
Yes.
And he and Picasso, of course, became the Cubists.
Yes.
And so they started the abstracting further, right? Simplifying the drawings even further. So this whole, the color, the dealing with the color issue started the whole abstracting movement.
And it's art, like everything else, is an evolution.
Yeah.
Right? And so then we go right into the 60s to Voice of Fire, right?
Yeah.
Which was so controversial when the National Gallery bought it in the late 80s.
Yeah.
But it's still spectacular.
It is.
And huge.
It was a fantastic investment, too.
Yes. And worth a lot more money than we paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
Might add.
And it's still meaningful. Like, I think a lot of people were angry because he was an American artist.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hanging in the Canadian Pavilion, right? In 67.
Mm-hmm.
So it's meaningful to this country. Mm-hmm. It marked that particular occasion. Mm-hmm. And now it is. It's quite a spectacular piece to look at.
And when you look at... speaking of national identities, flags, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of words on flags. It's mostly color because you see color first and then shape and then words.
Right.
That's how your brain works.
Yeah.
At least I think that's how your brain works.
Well, I think that you're right. You invented that, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I wish I would have invented orange. That would have been nice. And orange, again, right back to the food thing quickly. Orange, red, these are, purple, blue. These are triggers for what your body needs, right? So you know how you crave blueberries or you crave...
oranges.
Or watermelon. Sometimes I crave watermelon. So there's something in those color, iron, antioxidants, vitamin C.
Yeah.
And so we're all triggered by color based on what our... vitamin need is.
Interesting.
Right? Our nutrient need is.
Yeah.
But backing up a little bit, going back to the art gallery, did you know that Detroit has come out of bankruptcy?
Really?
And did you know why?
I did read about
this. Yes. Isn't that exciting?
Okay, you share it because you're more up to speed on this.
Okay, so Detroit was in bankruptcy.
Yes.
Which meant that a lot of civil servants were going to lose their pension because they're way at the bottom of the list of people who are owed money. But the Institute of Art, Detroit Institute of Art, had a collection worth $4.6 billion. Mm-hmm. And it saved their sorry
behinds.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
So how did it save them?
Well, because the court considered the money that private investors were willing to invest to save the gallery, and they're leveraging the value of the collection against what the city can or cannot repay its creditors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can go online and look it up. But
so basically it was the safety and security of that investment, yes, that made the judges, yeah, realize that it's okay to, mm-hmm, to, yeah.
It got them out.
Yeah,
that they were worthy of getting out of bankruptcy because they had assets.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so
art, I think, saves it's just the world.
Art saved the city. It totally did.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so exciting.
It is. So, and we have an art collection. I hope it doesn't. We don't need it to save us, but it's, yeah, only increasing in value.
Well, that's right. Which is an interesting discussion because we talk about this every year when we get our year-end financials, that somehow the depreciation happens on the art collection, oh, as well as on a computer equipment.
I know. It's I, like, am morally opposed to computers devalue. Art does not.
No.
No.
And I'm really proud of the art collection because I think we've got a nice sampling, mm-hmm, of a lot of the important artists from our area over time, right? Mm-hmm. Like the art collection started way back in the 70s. The Arts Council started in 1970. And the Fall Fair, the winners of the Fall Fair actually had to donate their winning pieces to the Arts, nice, Council. They got a prize, but I mean, it wasn't very fair in the beginning. No. But that was just kind of how they did things. So there was kind of a start of a collection back in the 70s and some really great works, right? Marcel Askwin, Chris Cran, wow, all kinds of interesting, yeah, pieces. So those established the collection. And then it didn't really, people didn't have to give up their winning pieces anymore for a while. And so it didn't really go anywhere for a little while. And then it was kind of liquidated a little bit, pared down in size. Because there's quite a lot of works that were either not framed properly initially, had some damage, had some issues, whatever. And there was an opportunity with the Renaissance Fund to start an endowment fund, mm-hmm, get a matching grant from the provincial government. And so it was decided to kind of pare down the collection a little bit, sell a few pieces off to raise money to start an endowment fund. And that worked, got a grant from the provincial government to do that. But now it's kind of back on the forefront to really build this really amazing, yes, community art collection.
And that endowment fund has been a great legacy.
Saved our behinds, yes, a couple of times.
I know, a lot of behinds being saved by art today.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep,
that's for sure. Okay, yeah. So we're getting down to the last few moments. So this is our time to talk about our community arts events, things that are coming up. We just had the Film Society and the Real Lunch, or the Film Festival with the Real Lunch. That was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. But the Film Society has its regular season continuing, and people can check out upcoming films at their website, www.shoeswapfilm.net. Mm-hmm. There's some nice ones coming up.
Yay!
And then the Vermeer, the exhibition on screen.
That's right. The last one is...
Yeah, it's on December 1st.
Yes. And December is here soon.
It is. It's getting very close. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit frightened. And I heard Trevor and Brent talking about it this morning about how only hours after the Remembrance Day ceremony, people were throwing up their Christmas decorations. It seems like people just can't wait.
Oh, that's a whole another show.
It is. But I just feel like, wow, take it easy, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're starting to look at all the Christmas events now, too. I mean, all the December things are just upon us.
It's too soon. Enjoy November, people.
Yeah.
It is cold and dark and gray, but wear something bright orange and walk around for a bit. But
yeah.
Why rush it? I know, we're in such a hurry.
I don't know. No. Maybe we're just in a hurry to feel the color and beauty of all, yes, of that Christmas stuff because it is cold and gray.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as the snow comes, everything's going to look a lot brighter.
Okay, for all of you at home, you should know, yes, Louise just put on her gloves.
I know, I'm cold. And I have a toque on. I had a toque on.
And they're brown.
Yeah, Ooh, time to buy new gloves.
Okay.
Ooh, so 2 minutes left.
Currently, the exhibition at the gallery is Cindy Whitehead's Beautiful Pastels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or that will open. Lighten your heart.
It sure
it's,
will.
It's heart wide open.
It is.
Too, yes.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous. I mean, it's just, they're luscious. These soft pastels, she's very skilled. And it's all very familiar landscapes and beautiful scenes, beautiful light. Cindy's artist talk will be on Thursday, November 20th at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The third Thursday of each month is a coffee break day. So there you go.
Yes.
And other arts events can be found at our website, www.salmonarmartcenter.ca.
That's right.
And you can follow us on Facebook,
yes,
at Salmon Arm Arts Center. We actually put stuff on there.
We do. And we've been getting lots of hits. We're performing 90% better than the average post.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how about that? Doesn't everybody get those?
I don't know.
I just wonder about Facebook sometimes.
I know.
They send you encouraging words to make you do more stuff.
That's right. Well, he can't see red or green.
Yeah. So he's got to
make up
something.
For it some other
way. That's why the little tiny thumbs up symbol.
That's maybe.
Otherwise, it might have been just a red star.
Well, one time we should
gold
talk.
Gold star.
Now that we've had this in-depth, maybe not so scientific conversation about color, maybe we'll talk about shape.
Oh,
next time. Okay. Triangles, circles, squares.
Oh my gosh.
This
octagons. This is all very scientific.
But important.
Yes.
How our brain works. Have a colorful week.
A colorful week. That's lovely. As we look forward to lots of color and lots of art in our future.
Anyway, thank you for your time.
We'll see you next week on Artscape.